Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
And today is our Watoto Neighborhood Weekend. For the last couple of weeks, we have been really working so hard. We've been preaching about God's heart for community, because that's what we do at Watoto. We celebrate Christ, we care for community. And at the end of this service, we will give you an opportunity to give generously towards the work that we are doing here at Watoto Church. Now, the last couple of services were amazing. I'll be inviting one of our mothers to testify later, but you know what? I'm so inspired. I was really debating whether to bring this testimony at the beginning, because I'm so inspired. I can't wait for her to come and speak, and I can guarantee you, you are going to be inspired. But before we get there, I believe God wants to speak to you through His Word. Ready for God's Word? I love God's Word. Just before I read from Scripture, I have two main Scriptures and some words from the Lord, and then testify, and we'll be done with His service today. But you know, when we were singing that song, the last song, and you know, after all these years, God, you have been so good. You know, you're still good. And from generation to generation, there are no boundaries to His greatness. And I thought, and I was strongly convicted in my heart, I don't know, it could be my word or somebody in this place, but let me just say this. I know there's some of you in this place, and you had given up trusting God. You have really given up because of life happening to you. You have given up because of the sins you've committed. And you have written yourself off. But I sense in my heart, and according to God's word, that that is a lie from the enemy. As long as you have breath in your lungs and you place your life in Jesus, God is not yet done with you. Amen. God is not yet done with your life. God is not yet done with your marriage. God does a great work. In fact, this is the only work that God does with us. He redeems us. He takes us out of the situations the enemy has placed us in and wants to write amazing stories through our lives. And that's what this weekend is all about. God writing new stories from the list of these. Come on, let's celebrate that. That's amazing. And so if you are here today, trust God again. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. He wants to write a new story in your life in Jesus' name. And somebody say amen to that. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And this is the parable of the Good Samaritan that many of us, if you've grown up in church, you've heard this story, and possibly you'll be even reading ahead of me, but please track with me, because I believe God is going to speak to us in a fresh way, all right? Now, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But the teacher, the expert in the law, wanted to justify himself. So he asked, and who is my neighbor? Now, when you ask Jesus a question, be ready for the answer. And then he said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, the most unlikely, the one the Jews thought is not a child of God, a Samaritan. As he traveled, came where the man was and saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of the three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Wow, an amazing story, isn't it? Not very unfamiliar, but yet loaded with God's instructions for us. Three responses. One, from a priest, and this was a man of God. He worked in the temple of God. Possibly was one who went and gave an offering on behalf of God's people once a year in the Holy of Holies. The other were the Levites. These were people who helped the priests in the work of the temple. So here are people who are expected to be godly, but when they saw the mess, when they saw the man who had been beaten, they passed on the other side. Now it's very easy for all of us to look at them and definitely we've already made our judgments. I'm not saying, what's wrong with these guys? But you know what? It is not very uncommon for us today to see the broken, to see the ostracized, to see the marginalized, to see the orphan, the widow, the homeless, the refugee, to see the problems in our communities, and we think government should be able to come and solve these problems instead of us. Many times we get many messages from people, especially after preaching through a series like this. People are saying, "Oh, Watoto, you need to come to my community. There are many people with these problems. Come and do the work." And yet, in that very moment when you see that problem, actually God is speaking to you to do something about it. We think Watoto can do it. Watoto has an experience of 31 years. They know how to do it. Please come to my neighborhood and do the work. We are like the Levite. We are like the priest. Because God is not calling us to ask other people to come and help. God is saying, you be the person to go and do the work. And then the third response, the Samaritan. Now, Samaritans were ostracized by the Jews because after King Solomon, the kingdom of Israel was divided into two. It was the northern kingdom called Israel, the southern called Judah. And then because of their disobedience, God gave them to their enemies. And the northern kingdom, Israel, was overrun by the Assyrians. And when the Assyrians came, they always took away everybody and just mixed them up, and they were intermarried. So the Samaritans were a result of marriage between Jews and the Assyrians. So the Jews looked at the Samaritans, they're like, "You are not God's people. You are not good enough." But in this story, we see the least likely, the most ostracized, was the one that had pity on the other side. You know, You see, the Bible says that God likes to use the weak among us. God likes to do a great work amongst the least likely people. You know, when I see all these children on this stage, these are children who are rich enough. They were orphans. Many of them were babies left in the dumpsters ready to die. But Watoto came to their rescue. Now they are standing on this stage and they are prophesying to the whole world that God is a great God, that He is faithful. He uses the least likely. Think about Watoto church families. Watoto, in the heart of Uganda, one of the poorest countries here on the planet Earth. And guess what is happening? Through this church, we send choirs around the world and we have seen hundreds of thousands of people come to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. God likes to use the least likely. And many times we disqualify ourselves and we think, I don't have anything, what can I do? This problem is so big, I can't do anything about it. Watch it come. This issue is so big, government come. Even we have a saying in Uganda, tusaba governmenti etuyambe. Those online, it means, government, please come and save us. We excuse ourselves because we think we do not have anything. But you see, what God is asking you is not to fix everything. God is simply asking you to be obedient and do just one thing for one person and see what God can do through you. God is asking you, what do you have in your hands? And I'm going to use it. You see, a seed is a very tiny thing. But a seed in itself is nothing. But when the seed is planted and it's planted into the soil and it dies, it is able to accomplish lots. You are a seed that God is about to use. The only thing you need to do is say, yes, Lord, here I am, and send me and see what God can do through your life. This church wasn't this big 41 years ago. But a seed of God's word was planted in our founders, Gary and Marilyn Skinner, 41 years ago. They were in Canada. They heard the word of the Lord say, go plant a church downtown Kampala. The only thing they had was obedience and Jesus. They came with their little family, five of them, in Uganda in 1983. When everybody was leaving Uganda, they came, they planted themselves here. Look at what God has done 41 years later. Come on, give praise to God. The Bible is saying the eyes of the Lord are looking around the earth and they're looking for a man or a woman who is committed to Him, and then God is going to strongly support that individual. You are God's seed that God wants to use in your generation. Remember, we serve a generational God. From generation to generation, He remains God. Yes, He did a mighty work in the past, but He wants to do a mighty work today. And guess who is the candidate? Not your neighbor, you. He's only waiting to say, here I am. I'm going to move towards the mess. And He's going to turn that mess into a great work of God. And that's what we're celebrating today. 31 years later, you see the result. You saw the kids on the stage. They're young adults. Many of them are leaders in this nation. Come on, somebody. Let's celebrate God for that. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, God has in store for those that love Him. Friends, I'm so inspired to prophesy to you today that God's best work is yet to be done in your life. He's simply looking for a man or a woman who say, here I am, send me, Lord, and you're willing to pay the price and see what God can do. What your family, God still has a lot to do. You and I, we are the people that God has called in this generation. You and I, we are the people God is calling to this great work. Do not think you're not qualified. Yes, you may not have academic pedigree or anything. Maybe your background, maybe you have seen your life away. But if you can give your life to Jesus today, God will do a work of redemption in your life and is going to use you in your generation. In Jesus' name, amen. He likes writing amazing stories. And you are a story that God wants to write in this generation. Let's walk towards the mess. Second story is Matthew 25. Verse 31. When the Son of Man comes at the end of the age in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a sheep separates sheep from goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came in to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? Then verse 40, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Whatever you did for the least of these ones, the orphan, the widow, the stranger, the homeless, the broken, the homeless, the hopeless, you did it for me. You know, friends, we judge differently from God. We judge from what we see. But God judges differently. We write off people because of what they look, what they're going through. But God looks at people differently. Man sees on the outside, but God sees on the inside. And God has a heart for these kinds of people because why? Because they know that the people who are well-to-do, we judge them and push them further down in the pecking order. When we read the Bible, and we've been doing this for the last 4 weeks, we see that God instituted a way of caring for such people because he knows in this world there's going to be injustice against these kinds of people. And he says, I love them. I'm the father to the fatherless. I'm the defender of the widows. Do something for them. And that same God that did that in the Old Testament is still the same God who's asking us never to forget these kinds of people, because the religion that the Father considers as pure and faultless is this: to care for the orphan and the widow in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted from the world. Jesus is calling us to walk to the mess. And as you walk to the mess, and you engage with Jesus, you actually are touching Jesus. You say, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did unto me. Because we all are image bearers of God, no matter what we look. And so, Watoto, God is calling us not to give up the habit of reaching out to these people. In fact, he's calling us to accelerate this work. I can only imagine if each one of us began to have the heart of Jesus and we did something to the least of these wherever we are. You could be possibly up country. Do something up country. Wachoro, as an institution, we can never do everything, but each one of us can do something. This is a kingdom work. And if we did something, friends, I can only see healing coming to our communities one person at a time. And this afternoon, I want to invite one of them that has been transformed because somebody moved towards her in Jesus' name. And today, she is a transformed life that is transforming other lives. Put your hands together. Welcome with me, Mama Allen. This is Mama Allen, one of our neighborhood mothers. Please come over here, Mama Allen. Do not fear. She's a preacher of God's word. Do not be deceived. Please. It's okay. So, Mama Allen, please testify.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I thank God for such opportunity that He has given me, and I don't want to take it for granted, just standing before you to talk about my story. It's not easy, but God has been faithful.
Amen.
As the song went, all these days,
after all these years, you're still good.
You are still good, and you have been good to me. Praise the Lord. My name is Mama Allen, as he has said. I'm a mother of three and a grandmother of four by God's grace. Amen. My story goes, I lost my husband in May 1998. It was a terrible situation. And left me with three children who were young, P2, nursery, and a baby. We go to Bare in the village, and the help I was given is that leave the children here and go back to Kampala, you do your own things. But the only treasure that I had in life was my children, so I could not depart with them. I decided to come back with my children. I had no skill, I was not working, there was no income, but nevertheless we came. Rent was not easy, and as I told you, the P2 and the nursery, the transport that brought us from the village was the condolence money that we received, and it was the school fees. So rent and the school fees for the next time, I didn't know. I remember telling God, God, if you can help me, my children, go up to P7. And the reason why I wanted my children to reach P7 was, if they are taken to do the housemaid and whatever, they can read the poster and they know where they have come from so that they could go back. That was me. I want to thank God, but by then, I knew the Lord. I was a preacher of the word. So I would move and preach people. In September, I started getting sick after my husband had gone. I started getting sick. Actually, I was told I had pneumonia and my lungs were eaten according to the medical report. In September the same year, I go for medical checkup and I was found HIV positive. Knowing it alone was death. Just knowing it alone. I am talking of 1998. No hope of living. And then I told God, God, now I am dying. But I want to thank God that I had separated my body with my soul. And I told myself, AIDS, it's the body but not the soul. So I told God, but now that I'm going to die, give me 2 years so that this baby can be able to answer for some calls, whoever takes him. That was all. Praise the Lord. So December comes that very same year. It was a culture with my husband and the children during December would go home, you know, to have Christmas with our people. So I decided to take my children to just go. We go for Christmas to have, because that was the life I knew. We reached home. We found the house we had has been put down and the place, the banana plantation is coming up. So there was no hope. No home, no house this side. So we slept everywhere. You get this house in the slum, you sleep in it 2 months, you fail to pay rent, they send you away. And some of the things, some of the property, they take. You just go. And that is the life we lived. I want to thank God. I do not know how my name came to Watoto. I just received a call from Watoto, and the lady introduced herself as a community worker. She came to visit me wherever I was, and I saw hope. She prayed with me. She gave me words of hope. She gave me an invitation for the following week to come to here, to the center, and I came. I found people. Actually, this story represents thousands and thousands of people who are there that we do not know, and some of them are near us. So I came. I will never forget the word that was read, Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God rises upon you. That was life. Thank you. To me, that was life. I learned forgiveness. I had carried some people I never wanted to forgive. I learned forgiveness. We learned some skills. We did literacy and so many other things that they were teaching us here. By the way, this art I am putting on today, it's us neighborhood that are making them. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God that now as I talk, my children have grown and they have graduated. I have an administrator. I have an agriculturist. I have an environmental scientist. By the grace of God. You know, talking about it is easy, but the journey was not easy. But God was there. I thank him. Today, my daughter decided to follow me. You could wait for people. They have grown. I just want to thank God that thus far, the Lord has carried me. I want to thank God for having thought worthy of me, of his service. I was called here to come and work here. I have been working here as a community worker, assistant, but I retired last year, not tired. I said, I'm not going to be tired. I went back to my place, and I started something small. And the reason why I start something small, I'm saying, if I can speak to this woman, if I can speak to this child, if somebody can get up from my testimony, that is my pleasure. That is my pleasure. That is my pleasure. So as I talk, I have something I have started. I have a sewing machine. And the one who is working on it, a girl, when she received Christ, the parents sent her away. She's just there finding life. And my prayer is, God, help me to touch another one and another one. That would be my prayer. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's appreciate Mama Allen right now. Thank you. Woo. Wow, that's what redemption looks like. That is God writing stories out of people that are written off. You know, in God's economy, there are no write-offs. Because the blood of Jesus is strong enough to redeem every person. Come on. That's amazing. What she didn't tell you that through the literacy training and they were taught how to save. Now, many of us, we don't save money. We eat everything. The neighborhood mothers actually do save. And through her diligence, work, get paid, save. And with her children, she's been able to construct a house in Chirinya. She has a house of her very own. And in Rukunjiri, that is where she's doing her ministry of reaching out to many other vulnerable girls and mothers right there. Wow. You see, when you touch one life, you actually are touching generations behind that life. You are touching thousands of people. It's like a seed. How many trees are in a seed? It depends. Because when you plant a seed, you don't get one more seed, you get multiple. As you plant multiple. It's so really, when you touch one of these women, mothers, you actually are touching generations behind them. One mother at a time. And many of them are here today. Our neighborhood mothers, please stand up. Let's look at, let's appreciate you. Come on, stand up. Come on. Come on. Right there, all around. God bless you. God bless you. Now you can sit down. Thank you. Thank you very much. And so we are going to be giving shortly towards empowering these women. And each one of us can do something. Through a total, but I believe some of you, God is awakening up dreams of things that God wanted you to do that you had given up on. I sense it in my heart today that God is giving some of you back the dreams you had forgotten. I just believe it in my heart. And the only thing that God needs from you is obedience. Just take the step and watch what He can do. That's all you need. Who shall I send? Here I am. You're only responsible for obedience. God is responsible for the work and the results. And so this story about the Samaritan, really, as much as it is to respond to the needs around us, really it's a story about our salvation. The man that was beaten, left for dead, represents all of us. We all have been beaten and left for dead because of sin. The wages of sin is death, and sin brings with it guilt, shame, pain, broken relationships, broken bodies, regrets. And possibly you could be in this place and you are saying, hey, Pastor Eddie, I'm broken, I'm that person. In fact, all of us have experienced the death consequences of sin. We have. And just like the Samaritan moved towards this man who was left for dead, Jesus left heaven, His comfort and glory. He came down here on earth and walk towards us, the sinners, in order to redeem and save us. And so today, you could be broken. You could be living in shame, guilt. Maybe you have even given up. You've written off your life. But as we've heard today, there is no life that is a write-off as long as you have breath in your lungs. Come to Jesus. And He alone is able to write a new story out of the mess in your life. That is our story. If that is you right in this room, maybe online, on air, I want you to respond to Jesus today by saying, here I am, save me. Now bow your heads across this place, close your eyes, and let's make a response. Jesus left glory and became a man and walked towards us in our sin in order to rescue us and write new stories of our lives. If that is you, my brother, my sister, young and old, wherever you are, the only response is to say, Jesus, I am the one, save me. And if that is you right now, I'm going to ask you to make a response of raising your hand. Let me see that hand and I'm going to pray for you. That is you. Lift up your hand, wherever you are. Online, there's a link that is showing up. Click it and fill in your details. Raise your hand in this room. Raise your hand upstairs. Lift up. You said, it's me. Save me. I know you're here. Today is your day. You're hearing the voice of the Lord. Respond and say, here I am. Save me. Lift up your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. Leave your shame, guilt, brokenness. Give it to God and let Him write a new story. Raise your hand. You're tired of going back to the old ways. Jesus is your Savior. He wants to write a new story. Raise your hand upstairs. God bless you. Raise your hand. The reason He came is to seek and save we, the broken, the lost. Raise your hand today. Don't let fear, pride stop you from receiving the most wonderful gift God bless you. Lift up that hand, and I'm going to be praying shortly. God bless you. God bless you. Raise your hand. Online, click that link. Now let me pray for you. God, I thank you so much for my friends who are raising their hands here saying, Jesus, here I am. Save me. Restore me. Heal me. God, I thank you that Jesus came for us. You came for sinners, and that is who we are. And you came to save us and give us new life. Give us eternal life. And when we are in Christ, your word tells us we become new. The old is gone, the new is here. And all those who are saying yes today, they are becoming new. They have been set free from the old. And you're giving them your spirit and you're giving them your very life. And for that, God, I want to say thank you. I praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,